Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Great song, Valero. Is it the Cover Girls?
Hey, how'd you know?
I was trying to figure it out with the code word. It's a great song.
Two for two.
Two for two. It's debatable. Time for your chance to win $1,000, WQAM's $1,000 Slap Shot. Text the word cover to 72881 right now, and you're registered. I want you to crank it up, Valero. This is such a good song. Text cover, C-O-V-E-R. Text it to 72881 right now. WQAM $1,000 Slap Shot brought to you by Anajar and Levine Accident Attorneys. Call 1-800-747-FREE. 1-800-747-3733. If you don't win this time, your next chance will be at 4 o'clock. It's a national contest. Message and data rates may apply. Please don't text and drive. We are in Las Vegas, courtesy of our friends at Showtime Pay-Per-View. You got Pacquiao and Broner tomorrow night on Showtime Pay-Per-View. Starts about 9 o'clock Miami time and promises to be a good fight. And this hour, very possible that Raul Marquez will be stopping by, one of the analysts on Showtime Boxing. Possible also that Scotty Farrell, from the CBS Sports Radio Network, will stop by.
Listen to him all the time.
You listen to him at, I think it goes on at 10 p.m. on CBS Sports. And he used to be on WQAM on his own as well for many years. So Scotty Farrell's walking around the media center here. So we got a lot going on. But wanted to go out on the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Our friend Lee Sterling is there, a professional handicapper. His website, ParamountSports.com, is where you can get all the info. You can follow him on Twitter at Paramount Sports as well. And we have him on every now and then, pick some games. And I figured no better time to talk a little extra gambling. It's championship weekend, and we're in Vegas.
And like, we need some help.
And we need some help. So we'll bring him on, and we'll see what he's doing. Do you like, and Lee Sterling is with us, do you like Las Vegas, Lee?
Oh, I love it. I mean, what's there not to like?
Some gamblers, I don't know, like some gamblers don't love, like I used to love Vegas more back in the day when it was the only place I could gamble on sports. Now, you know, you can do it on your phone in your bathroom if you feel like it. But yeah, Vegas to me is the real motherland.
It's definitely changed. I mean, I started going out there when I was a kid, and especially in high school, you know, before the internet, I'd go out there with my dad and a bunch of his friends. They would take a junket. I think they went for like over 25 years. They would go to Vegas or Tahoe for 4 days before the Super Bowl, and then wherever the Super Bowl was, they would go. And we're talking about 10 or 12 guys, and they're all getting comped. There was one time we're in a suite, and we get off the elevator, and the next elevator, same time, out walks Sammy Davis Jr., and we're starting to walk into our room. And he's like, you guys are staying here? And the guys are like, yeah. He goes, that's the suite I usually get. He walked in and played the piano for us for probably over an hour. So
that's one of the greatest celebrity run-ins I've ever heard.
I mean, some of the greatest things happened, you know. I mean, there was times you had to wear a jacket getting in to the Bacchanal dining room in Caesars back in the day. If you didn't have a jacket, I mean, no matter who you were, you weren't getting in. So things have certainly changed. Yeah, I like playing, you know, at my house. I sit there in my man cave, and I've got my computers out, and I'm wagering on games. That's much easier. But there's nothing like, I like the Super Bowl, but my favorite time is March Madness, where all the games are going on and all the craziness is going on, usually with a final, you know, endings to some of these games. So March Madness is still my favorite time to go out to Vegas.
Hey, Lee, you play table games? Sometimes handicappers don't play table games.
I do a little bit, but I'll only play like blackjack, and I'll play only, you know, if it's with two decks. You know, I don't like to play with a six-deck shoe. You know, you go – there's some places now. They're not even giving you decent odds playing blackjack. You know, craps once in a while, but usually doing it with friends to have fun. But if you play for many, many hours – many days, you're going to usually get beat. So I'd rather stick to sports. That's what I do best.
Lee Sterling is with us. ParamountSports.com is the website. I always point out he doesn't pay us to come on. We don't pay him to come on. We just enjoy talking some gambling. We're at MGM. UM, I know you're a big Hurricanes fan. Right. UM is 100-1 to win the national championship next season. Certainly a long shot, but the odds would indicate that. Should I take a flyer on that? Put 100 bucks, win 10 grand?
No.
Okay. Let me write down. Was that a no? That was a definitive no?
Here's the problem. I think they're going to lose the first game, even though the last 3 weeks have been incredible for the University of Miami. You know, after, you know, the last 3 months have been just absolutely, up until these last 3 weeks, horrendous. They were losing recruits, losing games. I think there's still a good chance they're going to lose that first game to Florida. If that happens, they're done. I mean, their schedule is easy. After Florida, they may not play another ranked team unless they ended up winning, you know, probably the ACC Coastal. So the schedule sets up nicely if they had a team. But look at the difference in players. I mean, if you think Miami is there, even a Florida State, look, go to a game and stand next to the Alabama offensive or defensive lineman or the Clemson players. I mean, I'm not just talking about the offensive or defensive lineman. Look at a receiver like Justin Ross. The kid who played for Clemson had the 3 one-handed catches. I mean, Miami's got some nice guys. Jeff Thomas is going to be a pro. He'll get picked second, third round. But this kid, Justin Ross, guys like that, I mean, he might go in the first 2-3 picks. This is a guy that's a game changer.
And Lee, speaking of college football, this whole, what is it called, transfer portal.
Yeah.
Wait, can we capitalize on that, like Oklahoma, Jalen Hurts, or even Miami with Tate Martell, or is that already taken into account?
Oh no! I mean, there's some more things that can happen. I mean, they're getting guys. It seems like every other day, and I think it's going to keep happening. I think Miami is still about 12 to 15 guys under the scholarship limit. So until they fill in some of the weaknesses they had in the last couple years, drafting and some of these defections, like a defensive tackle, offensive line, they're going to have to use it, and I think it can be a nice tool. A nice bridge to get them through till next year. Next year, huge class 2020 around the country, especially in South Florida. If Manny Diaz continues on this role and he gets 4 or 5 guys to flip in the next couple weeks and he has a good 2020, you know, things can be turned around. It's all about the players. I mean, coaches, Nick Saban is a difference maker, but Nick Saban, with even this Miami roster, wouldn't have won more than 9 games last year.
All right, let me get into some picks here because I don't want to run out of time. Right. Lee Sterling, the website is ParamountSports.com. First of all, Pacquiao Broner, tomorrow night pay-per-view. Do you bet boxing at all?
No. Used to be a big fan, went to many fights with my dad and his buddies. I mean, I even attended Ali Holmes, still have the pillow I sat on it, about fourth row center, but not into it the last 8 or 10 years. More into the UFC. I can give you a couple. Let me give you a UFC fight to look at. Real interesting fight. This would be like Channing going up against you, Mark. It's going to
so
be
pretty
a fight.
Even. Pretty even.
Yeah, right there. Yeah, and it's only 5-1. Gregor Gillespie is going to be taking on Yancy Medeiros. This is going to be like Khabib over McGregor. This kid, Gregor Gillespie, 12-0 record, 5-0 in the UFC, Division I All-American wrestler and national champion. He's going to be all over this kid, Medeiros. I lay 500 to win 100. This is like getting a free $100 in the UFC on Saturday night.
All right, so minus 500, but you're saying lock it in.
Yeah, it's easy money, free money.
All right, easy money. We like easy money. Heat are in Detroit tonight, by the way. Heat are getting 1.5 last I looked. Do you like that game at all?
I would probably, not a big play, but probably favor Detroit here, plus the 1.5, minus the 1.5. I just think that the Heat on the road traditionally has not been great. I know this year they've been better, but I think from last week going forward, I think you're going to see them better at home and have some struggles on the road, and they've always had trouble with Drummond. I mean, he seems to routinely end up with 15 to 20 rebounds, and he'll score in double digits also against the Heat front line. So give me Detroit, small play over the Heat tonight.
Okay, let's look at Sunday. Championship Sunday. New Orleans, they host the Rams. Saints are three-point favorites.
Well, I think something's wrong with New Orleans. You know, they've averaged only 295 yards per game over the last five games. You know, have one super receiver in Michael Thomas. But in this game, he's going to be covered not by Marcus Peters, by Aqib Talib, who missed the first game. So I don't see him catching more than four or five balls in this game. And for the Saints, two big, big losses here. Sheldon Rankins, best defensive lineman, he's not out. And guys aren't out for the offensive line for the New Orleans Saints, but two key offensive linemen are banged up. And if you watched the game last week, the Philadelphia defensive line, I thought, dominated play. New Orleans somehow willed their way into winning that game and give them all the props in the world. But I think it helps the Rams that they played them once already in New Orleans. They fell behind in that game 35-14 and clawed back to a 35-35 tie until they surrendered 10 points late in the game. But I think the Rams are the right side, and I think Todd Gurley might have a big game here. Give me the Rams here. Plus the three, and you might even get 3.5 some spots.
All right. And then the late game, Kansas City hosting New England. People are torn on this one, man. New England getting 3 points.
Well, I think playing at home is a big, big factor for Kansas City. Their defense has been incredible at home. A lot of people don't realize their defense leads the NFL with 51 sacks. They got three guys that a lot of people don't talk about, but certainly put pressure on the quarterback and get a lot of quarterback hits. And Chris Jones with 12.5 sacks, and a linebacker duo of Dee Ford and Justin Houston. These two guys, and Houston missed the first game. These two guys combined for 22 sacks and 41 quarterback hits on the year. So I think Mahomes is going to hit on some chunk plays here more than the Patriots will be able to get here. And Sony Michel had a big game last week, even with it being cold. At one point, they thought it was going to be single digits. Now they're estimating the game's going to be played mid-30s. That's going to be real cold for Sony Michel. He might fumble the ball here. I don't see him coming close to the big 100-yard game he had, plus-yard game in the game last week. Give me Kansas City. They're going to the Super Bowl for the first time in 49 years. Chiefs 31-21. The king is dead. Mm-hmm.
Wow, he's calling it already. The king is dead.
Tom
Brady is done by double digits. That would be a passing of the torch, no question. If they beat him by double digits, no question. Lee Sterling, ParamountSports.com. Quickly on the way out here, give me a couple random plays that Crowder and I can get in on here as the sports book is calling our name.
Okay, and the NBA tonight, I like the Portland Trailblazers minus the 2.5 to 3. I think the Pelicans I've got some real problems. Can't match up against teams with real good guard play. And Portland's been sitting there waiting for a couple days for this game. So they're at home, and New Orleans had to travel yesterday for this game. Long road trip. I like that. Another UFC fight. I'm going to give you an underdog. Donald Cowboy Cerrone, plus 160 against Alexander Hernandez. Real interesting fight. There'll be a lot of action. At least most people know about Cerrone. He comes to fight even when he loses, but he's dropping down from 170 in the welterweight weight to 155 in the lightweight class, and he's looking to win a championship. He might be able to do it. And Alexander Hernandez in this last fight looked like he did a fake touch of gloves with the other guy, faked like he was going to touch, and he ended up knocking down his opponent. So he's not going to be a crowd favorite. Give me Cerrone here. Plus 160, and then also give you a prop for the one of the championship games. Actually, both of them, the championship games, you can play the over 8.5 total touchdown passes, and both games combined minus 150. I think you'll see 10 or 11 touchdown passes combined in the two games. So give me over for minus 150, over 8.5 total touchdown passes in the two games.
All right, I like it. Lee Sterling, again, the website is ParamountSports.com. You can follow him on Twitter at Paramount Sports. As to betting UM to win the national championship next season, he says, think about it. No, he said definitive no.
Right.
He likes the Pistons tonight, laying the points, small play maybe. Sunday, he likes the Rams getting the points, and he likes KC laying the points. And if you're looking for a little dibble-dabble this weekend, the Blazers tonight in the NBA, Donald Cerrone, UFC tomorrow night, plus 160. And he likes the prop bet over 8.5 total TD passes in both the conference championship games combined on Sunday. Thank you, Lee. Always a pleasure, and hopefully we'll be wealthier when we speak to you next time.
Let's hope so, guys. Have a great weekend.
Lee Sterling, as we are live in Las Vegas, courtesy of our friends at Showtime. In the next segment, there's a couple of options here. Raul Marquez is walking around, boxing analyst for Showtime. Scotty Farrell is walking around, the evening night host, really, on CBS Sports Radio, and a former local host. And both of them are interesting and intriguing people. So I'm going to corral one of them, and we'll talk with them when we come back. We are back live at the MGM Grand here in Las Vegas. Fridays are always fun. Fridays in Vegas are even more fun. And we're here courtesy of our friends at Showtime. And you've got Saturday night, tomorrow, welterweight superstars returning to the ring. Legendary 8-time champion Manny Pacquiao, 4-time champion Adrian Broner. And it is live on Showtime pay-per-view tomorrow night, around 9 o'clock our time. And Crowder and I are sitting with Raul Marquez right now, and we always enjoy, you know, Roy Jones Jr. always comes by, talk a little boxing, and people know about it more than we do. Raul Marquez, he is a analyst on Showtime's boxing coverage. He's on Showbox, The New Generation. He'll be on the Spanish language broadcast for Saturday night's pay-per-view.
Correct, yeah.
And he's fought in South Florida before, too. We were talking before you came on the air with us. You fought at the Hard Rock.
Yes.
In Hollywood. What's the fight game in Miami like? Is it? It's like, you know, Las Vegas is the epicenter of boxing,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, boxing capital of the world, Las Vegas. And lately it's been a lot New York. We do a lot of shows in Brooklyn, New York, the Barclays Center. And like I was telling you guys, Miami, perhaps not a big boxing family, you know, but there's a lot of Cuban fighters there. You know, me coming from the amateurs, you know, I was an Olympian. I was in the 92 Olympic team. The Cubans are always great fighters, and, you know, they come they defect from Cuba, and they always end up in Florida and Miami, different parts of Miami. And from there, obviously, the promoters and managers, trainers, they know they're talented fighters, and they get picked up, and they go either to, you know, come to Las Vegas, New York, or L.A. But, yeah, a lot of talent with the Cuban fighters in Miami.
And with you coming up through the ranks too, you're retired now,
right?
Like you just said, but you coming up through the ranks and you've been doing this a long time. How is boxing changing? How has it changed since it started to right now to the
well
day?
I think you know, boxing now, I feel like you know, when I was fighting, I fought in the early, you know, 90s, went into the 2000s, you know, I come from the same era, you know, same team with Oscar De La Hoya in the Olympics. He was my roommate. Back then, I feel like, you know, fighters, speaking for myself, I fought the best. You know, to me, it wasn't so much business. I feel now it's treated more like a business.
Yeah.
You know, and I understand they want to get paid. You know, they want to get paid. But a lot of fighters now, they're scared to lose. They don't want to take a loss. They don't want to take risks unless they're getting paid a lot of money. And I feel like when I was fighting, you know, we took more risks. You know, you get a fighter with 3 or 4 losses, doesn't mean he's a bad fighter. It just means he fought some good fighters. And if you're in there with him, don't be surprised if he beats you, because he's pretty decent, you know. So I look at it that way. That's how it's changed. I think it's more business, more show now,
yeah,
you know, than it was before. Not that it takes away from boxing. It's still good. To me, it's the greatest sport because I'm in it. That's my life. That's what I do. That's how I make a living. I eat, sleep, everything boxing. I even have a boxing gym in Houston, boxing fitness gym. That's a trend right now. You know, a lot of men and women like to do it to keep fit and, you know, be in shape and release stress for whatever reason, you know, but that's the way I see it.
And it's funny, talking to older boxers, it seems like y'all are more, you want to prove yourself, or you want to fight to prove who's a better boxer, where now they're trying to manipulate and fight this guy to get to this guy to not mess up their, you know, undefeated streak.
Their undefeated streak or the whatever plan they got. But you're right. I mean, I went from fighting maybe a guy that didn't have a name to fighting guys like Fernando Vargas, Sugar Shane Mosley, Jermaine Taylor. I wanted to fight the best to be the best. You know, why am I going to fight you and you to then fight, you know, if you want to be the best in boxing, you want to be number one, you fight the best.
Yeah, yeah.
Raul Marquez is with us. Now, let's talk a little bit about tomorrow night's fight, because speaking of boxing and what may happen afterwards, all the machinations, the notion is if Pacquiao wins, you could see Pacquiao Mayweather 2. If Broner wins, that would be a huge feather in his cap. He's been lacking a win like this, right? Who's this more important to, you think?
I think it's important to both of them because, you know, Manny Pacquiao, he's 40 years old. You know, is he on his way out? Well, I don't know. He just won a world title, knocked out Matisse, the Argentina, knocked him out in 7 rounds. He's looking good. Yesterday we had him at fighter meetings, and he says that, you know, his motivation is to prove that he still feels good at 40 years old. You know, he could still do what he could do when he was 20 years old. He said, we made some adjustments, you know, maybe taking more days off during training, you know, because he is getting older. Your body doesn't respond the same. But he goes, I feel the same. You know, he's a fighter that you know, boxes in and out of range. He never stays in front of you. He counters you, circles around you and counters you. I call him like an octopus because it's like he's got 8 hands, you know, and he's punching you from different angles. You don't know where the punches are coming from. Now, for Broner, he needs it too because, you know, he's a guy, he's young, he's got a lot of talent. I think the kid's, you know, fast, he's good. He's lost 2 fights against Mikey Garcia and Maidana. But if he beats a guy like Broner, I mean, like Pacquiao, that's an international star, that's going to erase everything. You know, he's going to take that spot and, you know, fight a guy like Mayweather because he wants to be like Mayweather, even though he doesn't want to admit it. But he wants to be so bad like Floyd Mayweather and, you know, throw the money around and the bling and the car. He'll have more of that, obviously, if he beats a guy like Mayweather. And I mean, like Pacquiao.
That's one of my questions about Broner. I do ask some people. Does that hurt him? Him looking up to Mayweather, him trying to emulate Mayweather that much, does that hurt his boxing ability?
No, I don't think so. I mean, it's okay. He's younger. He's 29. What's wrong with him looking up to Floyd Mayweather? My son boxes. He's 18 years old. He's an amateur fighter, you know. We're trying to bring him up through the amateurs, and he looks up to Mayweather. He likes Mayweather's moves, you know. He likes the way he moves. So I don't think it's a bad thing to, you know, look up to someone like
Floyd
Broner.
In the ring, though, his defense is amazing.
Oh my God!
But just out of the ring, wanting to have the jury, wanting to be this big star, and then you start getting in trouble, affecting your, you know, your craft, well, where
that
you
has
have to be able to compartmentalize that.
Right. That has affected Broner. You know, his problems outside the ring. You know, with the law and things he does, whatever. You know, like we asked him at the fighter meetings. He didn't want to talk about it. He's like, I have no problems. I'm ready to fight. I'm focused on my fight. And it's good that he says that. You know, he needs to focus on his fight. But if he wins this fight, this would be a huge win for him. It's big. It's big. It's everything, you know. But he needs to stay out of trouble, too.
Yeah.
You know, he can't.
Training in South Florida sometimes is a recipe
South
for
Beach.
That's a recipe for trouble sometimes.
Right.
A lot of people questioned Adrian Broner for training for this fight down in South Beach. But
you know, it's better than training in Cincinnati, you know, because that's when he gets in trouble. Every time he gets together with his old friends and, you know, people from the past, and always gets in trouble in Cincinnati. So it might have been a good thing that he had training camp or lives in Florida, in Miami, because of that reason.
Raul Marquez is with us. Again, the fight tomorrow night, Showtime pay-per-view. Do you have a prediction? Do you have an idea of what you think is going to transpire?
Well, it's just a matter of, you know, I want to see if Manny's legs could hold up. You know, he's 40 years old. See if his legs could hold up for 12 rounds. If they do, I pick Manny to win by decision.
He's a big favorite tomorrow night.
Yeah, that's why I pick him to win.
Yeah. So you don't think that I had read from some people that he's going to try to knock out Broner, that he wants to show a knockout ability. But I don't know, you know, again, at that age, if you can.
I'll tell you what, me from just a fan and an ex-fighter, I just want to see a good fight. And, Broner's problems in the past have been in boxing, you know, he doesn't throw enough punches. So, you know, if he picks up his punch output and pushes him back, that's what he's got to do. He's got to think attack, push him back, pick up his punch output. When both fighters are throwing, you know, at the same time, you know, you're creating more risks. You know, they're open to get hit. And that's what I want to see. That makes it an exciting fight. So they can get knocked out, you know, because if Broner is willing to take risks and throw more punches, that leaves him open for when Manny's throwing. But Manny throws a lot of punches too, and he leaves himself open for Broner to counter off of that. And that creates an exciting fight. That's all I want. I want a fun fight so, you know, the fans are the ones that win.
Raul Marquez, again, you'll see him on Showtime, and you see him on Showtime all the time. You see him tomorrow night if you're watching the Spanish language broadcast. You miss fighting at all? And I'm not talking about in the ring. I'm talking about fighting.
He just little boyed us early in the interview. He said, if I had to fight a guy like you or you, you know, that's cake. I want to fight the
easy
best.
Work.
Crowder,
easy work.
Crowder may be able to hold his own. Crowder may be able to hold his own.
You know what? I'm
you ever looking to get into it a little bit? You know,
I still work out. I hit the bag, and I do some sparring with my kids. But I'm too old for boxing. I'm 47 years old.
But not boxing. I'm talking about being at the restaurant. Someone's getting lippy with someone else.
Oh, no.
You walk over there.
No.
You look a little unassuming.
He's starting to start something. No,
I want
to
see. No, well, because no. I know Crowder's he's looking to fight someone.
I tell you.
You did call me easy working. I'm 260. I got you.
Oh, 260. Oh.
He played for the Dolphins.
I better watch.
He played
for
the Dolphins for 6 years.
I better stop talking that way then.
No. You what is called? The sweet art.
Yes, the
you
sweet science.
You have the sweet science. There you go.
You know what? I do personal fitness too in my gym. You know, I don't know if you know. He's a football player. He won a Super Bowl. He's got two Super Bowl rings from the Baltimore Ravens. He was a tight end. Jameson Hittebo. Jameson Hittebo. Yeah. Really cut up guy.
Ripped up. Yes.
He trains down in Houston.
Yeah.
At your gym?
I worked on. But it's just different, man. Like, it's incredible. Like. How fast he is, like, you know, we would mess around, like, okay, get the ball, and then his moves, you know?
Yeah.
But when it comes down to boxing, it's different. He can't deal with it.
Oh, yeah.
No, it's different conditioning. Different conditioning. He's athletic and stuff, but he can't – obviously, he's not going to be able to do it like I can.
Yes.
Not even though I'm older, and he's older. I mean, he's in his 30s. I think he retired
already.
He's
around my age.
Yes,
yeah.
He retired already. I think he had – last year was the last year he played, or 2 years before that. But –
it's just a different.
You get a high-level football player, you know, in the NFL, and you get a high-level fighter, ex-fighter, whatever. It's different. The skill, you know, I can't do what he did, you know.
But he can't do what.
But
you
he can't do what I did. You
that
know.
Makes sense.
It makes sense.
Anyone can do what I do. Raul Marquez.
That's a good
one. Yeah. Raul Marquez, part of Showtime Championship Boxing. Watch the fight tomorrow. Pacquiao Broner live on pay-per-view. Thank you for making time for us, Raul.
Oh, it was an honor. Thank you, guys.
We appreciate it. We'll take a quick break here from the MGM Grand in Vegas, and we'll come right back after this. Radio.com.
Radio.com. Think it's a game.
I came up from nothing. You can't tell me. Yeah, did it on my own. Take out my neck, take out my wrist.
We are back in Vegas. MGM Grand, courtesy of our friends at Showtime Pay-Per-View. So tomorrow night, Manny Pacquiao, Adrian Broner on Pay-Per-View. You can watch it then. And I am sitting across, and instead of just staring at Crowder, who's a Dolphins legend.
It's okay.
Gators legend.
There you go. I like
Gators
that.
Gators legend. But I'm staring at a radio legend right now, Scotty Farrell.
Come on.
That's true, man.
Come
in South Florida, Scotty Farrell is a radio legend.
Maybe.
Legend. Legend could span the spectrum of
good
to bad.
How about troublemaker legend?
Legendary troublemaker.
I got in some nice trouble down there, son.
It's like sitting next to Zach Thomas to me, man. Coming with Zach Thomas as a linebacker, as a radio guy,
listen,
man.
You're a badass. All I know is, listen, let's face facts. When I got in trouble down there, that was really some quality stuff. I mean, the stuff that I said that got me fired was the stuff of legend.
That is.
I take none of it back. I thought it was a fantastic rant, and I thought it was funny, and I still don't think that anyone actually knew what I was saying. None of them knew what I meant.
Well, for those that have been listening to WQAM.
Unless they drank and did drugs, then they knew.
For those that have been listening to WQAM and South Florida Sports Radio forever, Scotty Farrell is a legendary figure, and you hear him every night on WQAM. He's on the CBS Sports Radio Network.
What was great was when Sarner didn't know I was on the QAM.
And he sells the radio station?
He sells the radio station. He sells the other one, too, Waxy, and this one. And then he said, what are you doing these days? I'm like, well, I'm on QAM every night, Slick. You know, and I want to have a show down there again. I just told you guys, I want to come back and do a live show in Miami and like a reunion, Pharrellavidian reunion. We used to have the left field corner bleachers at the Marlins games, and they would let 500 drunks in and losers and homeless people to go to the game with me. And then I knew all the beer vendors because, you know, like I think I smoked pot with them, and they would give us free beer. And we would have these parties out in left field. There'd be no one at the stadium ever, like 2,000 people, but there'd be 500 drunks in the corner. And then what was even better was they won the World Series. We rode it all the way to Game 6 against the Yankees. It was the greatest thing ever. I remember doing the entire series, three games, with the CEO of Popeye's Chicken in his luxury booth at the games. I took 34C, my hot wife, to the game. She had no interest in sports, zero. And I was like, listen, free chicken. We're going to be partying. We're going to the World Series. We're going to watch the Yankees. And then they won it all. I got to tell you, it was better than sex watching them beat the Yankees for me. When they beat them in New York in Game 6, I mean, it was like one of the greatest moments of my life. I remember going to the party at Miccosukee afterwards. They had like a golf tournament. They had a party, and I got pictures of me with the World Series trophy over my head. The only thing that would have made it better is if I was naked with that trophy, but I did I did party with the Marlins.
Scotty Farrell, first text that comes in says, shake it up.
Shake it up.
Shake it up.
No, I want to have a show. I want to do a show in Miami one night, do the show live, 10 to 2 at a cool bar, and then see all of my friends and fans down in South Florida. I lived in Boca. I've had a place there for 45 years, and then unfortunately sold it. And for whatever reason, it was a conspiracy. I'm very mad at my father. We're enemies about it because I would have never, ever left South Florida. You have no idea. Like, I'm the biggest Cane fan in the world. Screw your Gators. And I love the Canes, and I always loved living there. And I thought the gig I had at QAM, the 8 to 10, was the greatest gig ever. Like, I had a lot of fun. The only gig that was better than that, see, because I used to get off the air and go lay at the pool all day. And just, I love that lifestyle down there. And then I've been going there my whole life. The only gig better than that gig was Howard Stern. Working there for 7 years was better. But QAM, to me, top shelf, top three jobs in my career, QAM, because of how much I love Miami.
Somebody texts in, did he find his cat? No, that's Renshaw, folks. Yeah. That's Renshaw.
I saw Renshaw the other day at a Maryland game, and he actually looked great. He looked fantastic, and he looked healthy, and he looked normal and alive and well. And I got to tell you, the two of us together, let's just, how should I put it? We did a lot of drugs. Let's just, are we on the air? Are we live? We did a lot. Let me just say, there was nothing but drugs involved. That's all I know.
That's so great.
That's all I know.
People love it. Now, I can talk. I don't regret any of it. I love talking radio more than anything. But, you know, you talk about what you're doing and the dream gig that you had.
Right.
People love hearing your voice on the QAM airwaves. And you can every night, by the way, yep. 10 p.m. But you talk about the Marlins and beating the Yankees in the World Series. Who's the next South Florida team that's going to hoist a championship trophy?
God, that's a great question.
Because no one's close.
Yeah, they're not close. You know, that's just a great question. I just don't see the Marlins or, frankly, the Dolphins. I would say, and I don't even think the Canes can do it. I would probably, if I were to guess, I would say it'd be the Heat. Because I think that Pat and Eric know what they're doing. They've done it. They've accomplished it. They've had their championships, and they've had their moments. You can't tell me that those two don't know how to get back there and make it happen. It's about quality of players. They got to have the substance to make it happen. You have to have ballers. You can't have – now, listen, I love the big kid, Whiteside, but he's a pain in the ass. He's always crying and complaining. I don't need some dude that just doesn't want to be there. He's not happy. He's miserable all the time. He's, like, complaining. I need some dude that – like, you know, when Shaq was there even and he was, you know, balling – he just got the rock and just threw it down. Now, that guy's so big, he should be swatting shots, throwing it down, lobbing and dunking, and shut up. Just play ball. You're a great player. What's your problem? How can you not like Miami? Shut up, dude. Even the uniforms are badass. Just play ball. Quit being a diva little bee. Everybody wants to see, you know, if you had a big like that that finished and didn't cry all the time, and you heard me, he is painful. I mean, yeah. Hasn't he said like 10 times he wants to leave and everything else? I mean, calm down, bro. Have a sandwich. But if they got the right players, I think those two, I mean, Pat Riley's a genius, and I think, you know, Spoelstra's done a hell of a job. I would probably say them. If they could actually get it done again, to me, that would happen.
And what about the Canes? Crazy last 3-4 months with Manny, with Rick retiring, Manny Diaz taking over. Well, what's your Canes?
That was a real bad blackout night of drinking. I mean, that was a disaster. No one remembers anything. The guy, they bent over so bad against Wisconsin. The guy basically quit. I mean, he just said, I can't do this. I don't know why he did it, but I have a feeling it had something to do with that. Like, he just didn't need the stress. I don't know what it was. You guys know more than me. All I know is I thought it was fairly weak. I thought he did he was doing a really good job, and I thought, you know, he loves the Canes. It's in his blood. But, I thought he piked out at the end, to be honest with you. I thought it was a really, really bad
way. I thought it was stand-up. I thought it was a stand-up thing to do because he could have held the university hostage for his money.
Oh, fair enough.
I think after that Pinstripe Bowl, I think he said, whoa, we are so far away, I'm not the guy.
I think you're right. I think you're right. I also still think it was a little, you know, dripping a little. It was a little weak.
We had the athletic director on the next week, and I said to him, do you feel let down at all by Mark Richt? Do you feel like you were betrayed at all?
No.
He said no. That
Well, he was lying. So here's the deal. I like Manny a lot. Now, I think Manny's a great coach. I don't know how he's going to do at the highest level running the Cane program. I think there's going to be stress. He has no idea because I think he knew how to run the defense. He was great. The players love him. He balls out. But now he's got to deal with corporate stress, boosters, alumni, money, power, greed, people nibbling at his ankles. Everybody wants a piece of you when you're the head coach and they're pulling you in all kinds of directions. The problem they had, which I think they've rectified a little bit, is I think their quarterbacks both were terrible. I mean, just flat-out terrible. If Perry, no offense to the kid, he's probably the greatest kid in the world. I love him as a kid. God bless him. I wish nothing but the best for him. But if he's anywhere near the center's ass on game day, I am running. I am running to my car, and I'm going to stick a 9 Glock in my mouth because he's a terrible quarterback. That's all there is to it. And the other one, he got worse in time. You know what he was like? He was like a hot chick you start dating, and then 4 years later, she's fat and ugly, and I want nothing to do with you because your game sucks too. I mean, he went from smoking hot to Suckville overnight. Every time he threw the ball, I mean, what a disaster. They need a quarterback that can make them relevant again. This is the greatest quarterback university in the history of college football. I got to tell you, I bought a $200,000 condo off gambling winnings, betting on the Canes in the 80s and 90s. They never lost, and it was because they had great quarterbacks. The greatest quarterbacks that ever lived. Jim Kelly, I literally think, in my view, he is actually God, because that guy should be dead 5 times over, and he's still alive, and he's battled cancer, and he was such a tough SOB quarterback, just the toughest guy ever, and it all started at Miami. The guy became a legend, Hall of Famer, and the fact that he's fought cancer and what he's done, guys like him, Bernie, all of them, you name it, going down the line, the list, and then lately, in the last 10 years, it's been atrocious, and that's why they suck. And
hopefully,
it drives me nuts.
Hopefully Tate Martell from that transfer portal, maybe he'll be the answer.
I love the fact that he got a lawyer. I love this kid already. He got a lawyer to get him eligible. That's when you know you're smart, is when you hire some evil lawyer. I was going to use a really bad word right there. An evil lawyer to get you eligible. I hope the kid can play, because I hear I've never seen him play except once. He came in a Rutgers game and lit them up like a Christmas tree. Played great, running the ball, throwing the ball. He's obviously some stud, high-level recruit that, you know, was good enough to play at Ohio State. So I think that he could be good enough for the Canes, only if he plays.
Scotty Farrell, we're out of time.
I got to ask him, man, because I listen a lot at night. You're on our station. What's the genesis of your rapping lead-ins out of breaks? Like, I don't even know where that came
all
from.
All the craziness?
Yeah.
I have no idea. I have no idea. So it's weird because I do it, and one day I told the guys, I'm sick of doing this. I don't want to do it anymore. I just want to come on the air and just start talking to, like, you can't. You got to do it. You can't you know, stop doing the, you know, people dressed in plastic bags, directing traffic, some kind of fashion, shake it up. All my friends that come around, fat a party up, rats on the west side, bad dogs uptown. I get a lot of that stuff from the Rolling Stones and music and just, I guess, my crazy life and all the other stuff that I do. You know, the bad seed, a broken head, a bad apple with a bad attitude, hanging around a bunch of bad, had a bad day, bad lie, bad do, bad breath, bad attention, bad vibes. The fact that I can remember that stupid stuff, but I started the show the other night and couldn't remember my sponsors. I didn't have the paperwork with me, and I'm like, we're being brought to you by, I have no Pharrellan idea who's sponsoring the show. So I'm a loser, but I can remember all my rhymes.
That's
shake
cool,
it. I love you guys. Crowd, you're the man. Hot. God, always love when you're on my show.
This dude, I have to
you
tell
gotta
you.
You got to come on the show one night. I can't believe you haven't done my show yet, Crowd.
Calm down, man.
I mean, it's because of that Gator BS. See what happens? These traitor, backstabber Gator fans, they refuse to hang with the cool set, Pharrell. But we're going to get Crowd on there one of these nights.
I mean, this dude
on 10
goes
times.
From QAM to Howard 101 to CBS Sports Radio. Dude walks into the CBS building.
And I'm back on QAM. I've even done it down there with my boy, Manny. Don't call me Mother Pharrell and Chang. That's my guy down at 560.
Manny Chang just got a shout out.
I used to do the show in that studio. And then I would leave. I go, yeah, I'm going home now. But first I'm going to go across the street to the strip club and see if I can make it rain a little bit. Let's have a show down in Miami. Hey, QAM management, let's make it happen. Don't be soft. One night only, Pharrell Live back in Miami. Let's
do
it.
We're going to get Sarner on it.
I love
Scott
you guys.
Pharrell.
Enjoy the fight.
Just found out.
Enjoy the fight. I'll see you guys at the fight. It's great to see you guys. I love QAM. I love Miami.
There he is. That is a mic drop moment. Scott Pharrell. Love that dude. And based on the text, so do all the listeners, man. That guy. And he keeps that energy for 4 hours every night.
I listen to him all the time,
It's a mashup of sports and music. It's got that, you know, headbanger attitude, man. Scott Pharrell is a genuine radio legend.
The information he retains, though.
In South Florida.
Once you get over the delivery, if you just listen to all the stuff he knows and retains, it's amazing, bro. I love
it. Text coming in, man. Please have mom more often. Pharrell got my ass rolling. Does this guy eat cartons of cigarettes? Pharrell should be a regular on the show. Man, Scotty is great. WQAM, bring him back. That's funny.
He's in modified shape now.
Oh, he and he's got to be over 50.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, they said he's owned a condo 45 years, so I'm sure he wasn't
in the
womb.
Somebody texts in. He won a condo off betting, if you spell betting, C-O-C-A-I-N-E. Hey, that's unfair.
What you speak of?
All right, we have to take a break. We're in Vegas. We went long. It was certainly worth it.
Oh,
we're
going to
come back. We'll do our deal best bets of the week when we do.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.